doesn't it feel great to get a bargain? If something I need is on special, I immediately feel smug. But what if that special isn't that special at all? This week, Coles is in the federal court accused of misleading shoppers with fake discounts. The Australian Competition and Consumer Commission says Coles temporarily hiked up the price of several items and then dropped those prices as part of its down-down promotion. Coles denies these claims, saying prices have been impacted by inflation and increasing costs in global supply chains. And it's not just Coles. Woolworths is set to face an almost identical claim too. While frustrations with the major supermarket chains aren't new, is this enough to make you vow to shop elsewhere? And if you are swearing off the big supermarkets, how easy is it to do that really? In a moment, you'll hear why Australia's supermarket landscape is so different to many other countries and what, if anything, we might do about it. But first, let's check in with Jasper Peach. 2.5 years ago, Jasper took on a challenge by The Guardian newspaper to avoid shopping at Coles or Woolworths for a week. Jasper, welcome to Life Matters. You took a week off from shopping at the big supermarkets. What was that like?
It was really surprising. It was a lot cheaper. I had a lot more social interactions. I mean, obviously, because I'm talking to people in the shops and going to more places and seeing more of my local community, and that was really beautiful as well. I also happened to have a trip to Melbourne that week for a writing group. And when I'm in Melbourne, I always go, there's this big discount shop that has a few locations, and I'm a bit of a tight ass. I love a bargain. And you can get things that the supermarkets would get rid of because they're too close to end date. But I've spent about $80, and I had this huge bench full of groceries, probably at least 60 to 80% off the retail price. So that played into things as well.
So it sounds like you had quite a positive experience. 2 years, 2.5 years on since that week challenge, are you still shopping like that?
I have fallen from my pedestal and I am no longer self-righteous.
Why do you feel like it's a moral decision?
Because I'm a perfectionist and I had a Catholic dad and I feel guilty about everything. But also it's so important in smaller towns in regional areas to support your local businesses. And sometimes that means spending a little bit more money, but you do feed into the community and it becomes a more lush ecosystem. There's an intersection there for me because I'm disabled. I've got really limited energy, finite spoons for the day. So making that more convenient choice for me is kind of essential for where I'm at the moment. So I guess I hope that people who have the capacity to do the whip round to the butcher, the fruit, the little IGA, that they'll do those things for people like me who can't at this time.
And you aspire to go back to that at some stage.
Oh, yeah. And when it's not summer, I will have more capacity to do that as well. But if I go outside, it's like I'm standing on the surface of the sun. So being too white for the light, it's a bit tricky for me. Yeah. If you can, try and shop more locally, avoiding the duopoly, but I don't have a leg to stand on because I am a hypocrite. So that's what I've got to say.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jasper Peach. You ditched the two big supermarkets for a week. Couldn't make it stick at this time. Well, also with me is Dr. Paul Harrison, a senior lecturer in marketing at Deakin Business School, our resident consumer behaviour expert. I couldn't think of a more qualified person to be having this conversation with today, Paul.
Hi, Deakin.
So when we're looking at specials, there's all sorts of ways to make us feel like we're savvy shoppers at the supermarket. Can you talk me through some of these tricks of the trade?
Look, I think the first one, and this is something people may not be conscious of, is that even the word discount, lower price, free, even the use of percentages, discounts, it actually has an unconscious effect on people's decision making. So rather than a rational process, people look at that and they form a trust relationship. They go, well, if they're saying that and nobody else has questioned it, if they've said this is discounted or the price is down or that something comes free and nobody else has questioned it, we use that as a what we call a heuristic, a shortcut to say, well, nobody else has kind of caught them and told them that they shouldn't do this. And so people just trust that process. It kind of sits underneath this whole idea of we go through a process through life trusting what people are telling us are the truth, and it does have an effect. People struggle with calculations as well. And so what I mean by that is that we're actually really good at just kind of wandering through life going la, 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 kind of sleepwalking. And so when we see something that's a calculation like a percentage or $10 off, we don't actually remember what the price was previously, and therefore we don't actually know whether this is a good or a bad discount. We just trust the fact that it's a little less. And we even do that proportionately. Some really interesting research is in economics, which is around this idea of $10 discount seems like a lot more when it's a $30 product, but when it's a $500 product, it doesn't seem as much, but the discount is exactly the same.
So what we've got here in Australia is a situation where we've got two players that dominate 65% of the market. Why? But there are, like, 65% is a lot, but it's not everything. Why aren't more of us shopping elsewhere?
I think there's a real structural tension there as well. And it's exactly what Jasper said. It's effortful. And most of the time, people don't necessarily, particularly if you think about most of the people who go shopping, they're doing it when they're busy. So it requires effort to go to certain places. Jasper is exactly right. You know, she's a hypocrite in a way, but we're all hypocrites in our own way, because what we do is that we make choices that in that time frame suit our needs. And so there's a real tension that sits there as well, which is that people want lower prices, but people also want diversity and local alternatives. And those goals, those ideas actually conflict because, I mean, ultimately, to get lower prices, you have to be efficient and productive. You have to have scale. You have to have lots of stores. It just gets really difficult. And there's this, I don't know, this discourse that goes on in the community and even with the ACCC and with the regulators around shop around for the lowest prices. But local community shops or co-ops or something like that are not actually going to be able to give you the lowest prices, but they're going to give you something else. But then we don't really value that.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Dr. Paul Harrison from the Deakin Business School about what it actually would take if you decided that you wanted to swear off the big supermarket duopoly. One person says, avoiding the big two was my 2024 New Year's resolution. Where I live, it was super easy. I have independent options within a 20-minute walk from me. I only failed 10 months in when I needed lactose-free cheese at 9 p.m. Mel has texted in saying, I live in southern Tasmania. I grow about 90% of our fruit and veg and all our own eggs. I get as much of the rest of our fruit and veg as I can from crop swaps or local growers, and then preference independent grocers for what I must buy. But I recognise that I benefit from where I live and from a fairly good income. Not everyone has these luxuries. Clearly, I'm not living in a food desert or with low income challenges. But if I was, growing food and using crop swaps would be a big help. So there's a big equity piece there, Paul.
And I think that, you know, to some degree, it's actually really hard to do this, but there are some ways that people can do it. And some of the listeners who've texted in have kind of suggested that. I think what we have to do, it's a little bit like a New Year's resolution. If we're trying to do these big, grand resolutions, it becomes really difficult. So the process is what I would kind of call incremental shifts. So practice just resisting here and there the discount cues, or practice going to the local supermarket or your local independent provider just for small things. But also don't kind of be hard on yourself if you miss out. I think this is the other thing, is that often we're going, well, I've failed, so I'll fail completely. It actually, the thing that gets in the way of nearly all behavioural change is these grand ideas that I'm going to get super fit by the end of February, or I'm going to completely not shop at any of the big two. It is about small changes, practice, rehearsing, talking out loud with other people. That's a really important thing, you know, actually making it part of your personality, not too much. But also, you know, just when you can do it, adjust your expectations around things like price and brand loyalty. Again, we have to be willing to take small risks and small steps.
Well, one person who's part of the alternative is Melina Morrison, CEO of the Business Council of Cooperatives and Mutuals. Melina, your organisation represents co-ops right across Australia. What is that? What is a co-op?
Well, really, very simply, it's a business that's owned by members rather than shareholders. And what that means is that the purpose and the motivations of the business are different. We've heard some great examples this morning from your case study about how you can try and shop local. You can even sign up to a subscription service. So I'm getting my olive oil delivered to my door, my toilet paper, my imperfect box of imperfect goods. But if you really want to shop in a place that has different motivations than a shareholder company, you've got to look for independence, you've got to look for co-ops. And these are the businesses which are motivated only to benefit you, the member, the consumer.
How do the prices compare? Because we sort of heard Paul say before that there might be different things that alternatives to supermarkets can be offering beyond price.
Well, let's just put one thing in front of us and remember that it's one of the big two in the duopoly that is in front of the court for price gouging at the moment. So even when we think we're getting bargains according to scale, they're getting at our wallet in other ways. The motivation of the business is to make the customer the profit center. In a cooperative, the motivation is to make the customer the purpose. So there's lots of different factors. Paul talked about scale. Certainly that's one of the factors. Co-ops can scale. We have buying and purchasing groups in Australia that bring hundreds of thousands of small independent businesses together to get the economy of scale. But where you meet them on the high street as an independent store, then you're getting that local choice. It's actually competition in an economy that brings down prices. And that competition has to be between business models as well as between businesses.
So co-ops used to be a lot more common in Australia. What's changed?
Certainly. We used to have more cooperatives in retail. There's still 130 locations across Australia where you can shop with a local co-op, and that means you're actually a member of it. So when you join up and get the discounts that that membership avails you, you're also helping to build the scale of the business, which will ultimately bring down the prices, because there's two things that co-ops want to do: highest quality at lower prices. They also look for the long-term vision of the local economy, because that's where they're based. So they're really interested in the producers that provide the goods and the products to the store. What happened really in the great sort of neoliberal time in our economy is we lost sight of the fact that different businesses have different motivations. And we thought that the shareholder company was the most efficient business model. What we're finding now is that concentration in markets like retail is really diminishing the overall efficiency and productivity, not only of the businesses themselves, but of the overall economy itself. So we need to diversify our economy. Look, goodness, in places like Switzerland, 70% of all retail is offered through cooperative businesses. So you can have scale, but also local choice and that genuine competition.
You are listening to Life Matters. It's ABC Radio National, and I'm Tegan Taylor chatting with Melina Morrison, who's the CEO of the Business Council of Cooperatives and Mutuals, and Dr. Paul Harrison from Deakin Business School about what it might look like to move away from the duopoly of supermarkets here in Australia. One person says Woolies and Coles bashing seems to be a national sport, but people forget that a lot of industry super funds have shares in them, as well as a lot of mum and dad investors. And Mark says, for all those whinging about Coles and Woolies, just remember they directly employ 300,000 Australians. The others are foreign owned and the profits go overseas. I agree that they should be monitored and regulated, but the answer is not more foreign companies either. Another says, I have local fruit, meat and fish markets. I buy in bulk there and use Coles and Woolworths for bits and pieces. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. Paul, what's the right balance for Australia to have to encourage the competition that Melina's talking about, but also not throw the baby out with the bathwater? Because as these texters say, they're a really important part of our economy.
They are, and that's exactly right, this idea that it does contribute to our super funds as well. I mean, I think the thing we have to first stop and realise is that markets are designed systems. They're not natural phenomena that occur in the wild. And so people have made choices about how to approach things like competition. So I think the first step is to go, well, there is a place for regulators to step in. And that's what's happening now with the ACCC in the courts. I think the other thing to be thinking about is that not everything is about rational control. And what Melina was saying is exactly right, which is that in practice or in reality, co-ops and independent providers may well be have lower prices and better quality food, but perception is everything in human behaviour. So somehow we have to come up with a way to change people's perceptions. The other thing that really is important to point out is that people, predominantly the two factors that drive consumer behaviour in supermarkets is location and, funnily enough, parking. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a really critical thing for us to be thinking about, is that, you know, you could put that under an umbrella of convenience, but we have to be more specific about the things that actually influence behaviour and the different segments that are influenced by those types of what we might call stimuli or intervention. I think sometimes we just get too, we go too broad and we say we need to do all these things rather than going, who are the people that are most likely to shop at the co-op or most likely to shop at the independent providers versus the supermarket, the big two? And then we have to design strategies, design interventions that suit those different groups rather than this mass market approach, which is exactly what these two big supermarket chains are doing.
Melina, you mentioned before 70% of the market in, say, Switzerland is co-ops. What would you like to see change in Australia to even out the distribution of options a little bit more?
Well, this is about having a more competitive and productive economy. Let's remember that this is really in all of our interests. And this is one reason why the UK government has committed to double the size of the cooperative economy, because it's realising that a lot of its competition has been vacuumed out by concentration in ownership. We need just two things from government, really. And there's a recommendation that the ACCC has made to try and incentivise more community-owned stores, particularly in what they call the food deserts or thin markets. But we need a program like the program that we're running for the Australian government on care. And that's a program where smaller aged care residences are coming together to share their back office and services so they can get the economy of scale they need to keep their businesses viable, but they're actually still able to be locally owned and be very responsive to their local neighbourhood. We need a program like that for retail cooperatives, because the main barrier for people forming cooperatives as a way to do business together is education and awareness. Lawyers don't know about them, accountants don't know about them, banks don't know how to fund them. And then the other thing is, we have to shut the back door that has allowed so many cooperatively and community-owned businesses in Australia to be taken over or corporatised. And basically, the underlying assets of that cooperative, which have been built up by members over many, many decades, are essentially distributed to, you know, for a profit motive. And we made it too easy to let go of those wonderful cooperatives. It's not just at the retail end, it's also all of those canneries, those food producers, the big brands. Mind you, they still have the names they had when they were co-ops, like Safco and Goulburn Valley, etc., but they're not cooperatively, i.e. domestically owned anymore.
Melina, Paul, thank you both so much for joining me today. Melina Morrison is the CEO of the Business Council of Cooperatives and Mutuals. Dr. Paul Harrison is a senior lecturer in marketing at Deakin Business School. He joins me fortnightly for a chat that we call Buyer Beware. And you also heard from Jasper Peach, a parent of two who, despite their best intentions, tried and failed to avoid the two major supermarkets. And I should say, we did reach out to both Coles and Woolworths to provide a statement. Coles responded to say Coles denies and is defending all allegations made by the ACCC. It would be inappropriate to comment further while legal proceedings are underway. And similarly, Woolies said, we won't comment given our case is subject to proceedings, which will be heard in April.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.